I know it's just a couple of days before Christmas, but I want you to forget about it right now. I want you to think that Christmas hasn't even existed yet. I want you to go back 2,000 years ago and put yourself in the place of a couple of people that we talked about today in the gospel reading. Primarily, Joseph. Remember, this is before Christmas. We don't know anything about Jesus' birth. We don't know anything about what Jesus is coming to do for us. Keep that in mind. Place yourself in his shoes and in the mind of Joseph. Remember, the story tells us that Mary and Joseph were betrothed. Now, if you don't already know what that means, it means they were engaged to be married, but more than our engagement. They were already legally bound to each other. If you wanted to break this engagement, you had to do it in a formal divorce. That's how binding the betrothal was. They were in all respects married. The only difference is they did not live under the same roof yet. In fact, sometimes during this betrothal period, there would be a go-between between them two. So if Mary wanted to get something to Joseph, she'd have to send a messenger. There was no real contact between them because Joseph was supposed to be getting the house prepared. That's his business. Mary should be getting her side of the marriage prepared. But during this betrothal, we hear that Mary gets a message from the angel Gabriel saying, Mary, God's chosen you to be the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Messiah. And she's going, well, how's this going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to come over you. The power of the Almighty is going to overshadow you. And you will be, this child will be conceived in you in that manner. And as soon as she finds out about this, we're told that she goes to see her relative Elizabeth, who has already been told that she's going to be the mother of John the Baptist. Now, there's an entirely different manner in how these pregnancies came about. Elizabeth came about in the natural order of biology. That's how it worked. But there was something very different about Mary. This was not going to be done in the natural biological manner. And so she goes off to see Elizabeth, and she's there for 3 months or a little more. And then she heads back to Nazareth, to her hometown. And you can imagine, after a few months, all of you women who've had children, you know, you're starting to show. And now she's coming home, and she hasn't been with Joseph. What do you think everybody's going to start thinking? Here comes his wife, and she's pregnant. And what's the first thing you're going to think if you're Joseph? What happened? Why did this happen? What are you doing? Right now, the pregnancy that she has in her is only a sign of her unfaithfulness. Remember, this is a legal marriage. And it appears for all intents and purposes that she has broken faith with Joseph. Now also imagine Mary coming home to Nazareth. The courage that must have been in that young girl. Knowing she's going to face a lot of stares, ridicule, people talking behind her, and possibly even threats of punishment. Because she is considered an adulteress now. This is a scandalous thing that's going on. The village is going to be talking about it already. If they haven't already known, they're going to talk about it soon. She's, according to the law of Moses, an adulteress. And what does that mean? She could be punished by death, by stoning. Now, we don't have any discussions between Joseph and Mary. As I said, because there was a go-between, possibly between betrothed people, they never had the message sent, or if there was a discussion between them, I can imagine what kind of words might have been exchanged between Joseph and Mary. And if Mary tried to explain this to Joseph, he's going to be sitting there going, can I really believe this? That's quite a whopper of a story you got there, Mary. I don't think this is a Christmas miracle of any sort. If you were Joseph, what would you be thinking? I think I'd be a little skeptical myself. A virgin birth? It just doesn't happen. The Holy Spirit causing her to conceive? Nobody's ever heard of this happening before. And this is going to be the Messiah besides, so is this supposed to make me feel better? Plus, think of what Joseph would have to consider if he remained married to this woman, this storytelling woman. The town's going to think I'm a gullible fool. I'll be living with a disreputable person. And is she always going to be like this? His rights as a husband have been taken away from him. All he's going to have is humiliation. So what is he going to do? He prepares to divorce her. But Joseph, being a just man, as the Bible says, doesn't want to do this in a way that the law might demand, which is publicly humiliate her, maybe even put her up against the law, and she should be punished with the maximum punishment of death. Instead, he's going to be merciful to her. He's just going to put her away, divorce her quietly, and just go their separate ways. But Joseph doesn't do any of this. Because we hear that while he's pondering this, he has a dream. And an angel comes to him in this dream saying, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for that is what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And remarkably, he believed it. He believed this one dream. No matter who would have said anything before or after, it was this dream, this word from the angel who was sent by God himself, that Mary, even though it sounds irrational, it sounds foolish, he might now have to be protecting what everybody's going to think is a disreputable person. He believed it. And he was going to give up any and all of his rights in order to make sure that she was protected now. He believed the unbelievable. He believed that her child is the Son of God and that it is from God himself. Now, if you're not ready to believe the impossible, I would say then you're not ready for Christmas. Because that's what Christmas is really all about. It's about impossibilities. It's about unbelievable things. It's a virgin birth. Yes, that's what the Bible tells us. A mother who had no sexual relations with a man became pregnant. And this child was not just human, but he's also God too. Believe that this child is going to grow up and perform miracles, like changing water into wine, making handicapped people walk, see again, hear again, talk again. Even raising people from the dead, we have to believe this. Do you really believe all of this? This is so out of our normal experience that it's mind-boggling to think that it happens, and sometimes people convince us it's just myth. Oh, and don't forget that the angel of the Lord, who comes to us in his word, also asks us to believe that this child who's born to an unknown woman from the backwater part of a small country in the Roman Empire, who's poor, who doesn't have any family connections to anybody important, and who comes even under questionable circumstances, is the Son of God. God himself. And then we also are asked to believe that this Son of Mary is crucified, dies, and then he rises from the dead besides. That's just so unbelievable. But we are asked to believe. God comes to us in his word and he says, this is my story. I want you to believe it because it's for you. Why should we trust this word? Why in any reason should we believe what God has told us in his word? What's in it for us? Well, first, there is a God who made the universe. That's what he tells us. It's a God who loves his creation. what he tells us. And that's in it for you. This God who created the heavens and the earth by the power of his word cares about you. Of all the billions and billions of people who ever lived in this world, he does care about you individually and you. This God who chooses to humble himself, he sets aside all of his divine power, all of his glory, and he comes to live as one of us. This God is willing to give up his own rights as God divine and walk among us and be like us and feel the things we feel and hurt the way we hurt and experience the things that we experience. And instead of demanding of you that you suffer for your wrongs and your sinful nature, he's going to take the punishment onto himself. This God allows himself to be humiliated, mistreated, tortured, and then nailed to a cross. And he does it for you. That's what's in it for you. Instead of demanding retribution, this God forgives you and calls you to be his own, to be part of his family, to be loved by him. This Lord comes to live with disreputable people. That's us. He befriends us and he helps us. And this Lord comes to heal your hurts and calm your troubles. And he wants to give you a hope of a life that goes on without end and without pain, without sorrow, and without death. This God loves you more than any power or any person ever could in this entire universe. This God, this one true God, whose name is Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, he does it for the most unbelievable reason of all. He loves you just the way you are. That's what's in it for you, to believe. To believe and live in Jesus. To believe his love for you. And that's what Christianity is all about, isn't it? The essence of Christianity is to believe, to trust the very words of God, to believe the unbelievable at times, to believe that this child who takes away the sin of the world is for you, to believe the impossible, that God comes into this history and to make himself known to us. He's not out there hiding, making us find him. He comes to you so you can see him, what he's all about. If you're ready for Christmas, you're ready to believe the impossible. And if you struggle sometimes with skepticism or doubt, don't worry, everybody else does. Even Joseph did for a while. But God's word comes into our life through our ears, through what we hear in the music, through what we hear in Scripture, through what we hear through Bible study and sermons, through the liturgy of the church itself, we hear what God has come to do for you. And God's going to work on you through those things. And he will help you to believe. He will give you the Lord's Supper, which strengthens your faith. He will let you hear his word time and time again so that you can be firmed and stand firm in that word and believe what our Lord says about himself and about ourselves, that we need him and he came to find us, that we were dying and he came to give us life. That's what our God has in it for you, to believe, to trust the impossible promises of Christmas. So the Lord be with you this Christmas. The Lord give you the same heart that he gave to Joseph, a heart that believes the impossible, a heart that believes things that our mind, the world says, don't follow it. You're just silly, gullible people if you do. No, rather have a heart that believes firmly in the word of God and what he has given to you, his Son, Jesus, God with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.